You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
Hey, Band Geeks. Happy New Year. This is Richie. It is the beginning of 2015. We took a little break for the last few weeks to just enjoy our holidays with our families. And now we're back with a vengeance. Our first episode of 2015 is one I've been waiting to do since we began the podcast. When I first had this idea to sit down with musicians that I admire, one of the first names to come to mind was Bobby Rondinelli. Bobby Rondinelli is currently the drummer for Axel Rudy Pell and Leslie West. But I met Bobby when I started working for Blue Oyster Cult. I was a fan of his before then. In fact, I had this poster in my bedroom when I was a kid, and it was a Pisces Cymbals poster. And the reason I had it was because it had all my favorite drummers who were Pisces artists. And I think on that poster, we had Nico McBrain, Alex Van Halen, Tommy Aldridge, and Bobby Rondinelli. So when I finally met him, I was like, wow, that's the guy from the poster in my bedroom. So it was a real trip. But as I got to know him, he really became one of my favorite people, as well as being one of my favorite drummers. So getting to play with him and having him be a guest on my podcast is a huge deal for me. I'm super excited to show you guys this one. Before we get started, let's take care of some business. I want to thank you guys again for placing your Amazon orders through the Band Geek link. If you don't know what that is, you go to riotcast.com/bandgeek, and at the top of the page, you'll see a banner for Amazon. When you click that before you shop, a small percentage of your purchases goes to supporting our show. It doesn't cost you anything, and it's a huge help to us. So thank you very much. Please continue to do that. Also, our sponsors, I want to give a big shout out to Audio Technica, Sony Creative Software, and our new sponsor, Line 6, who hooked us up with a beautiful Pod HD 500X, which I'm using on this, and all the crazy sounds that I'm doing were from the Pod HD 500X, and also the Variax, which I'm not using in this one, but I've used before, and I will definitely use again. I also have a lot of Variax tutorials on my YouTube channel, so check those out. One more thing I want to mention. Actually, this is cool. This is connected. We're playing a Blue Oyster Cult show with Bobby on drums. Peavy is having an anniversary show during the NAMM show. If you live in the LA area, or it's actually the NAMM show is in Anaheim, but if you go to the NAMM show, please check out the Peavy anniversary show. It's going to be at the Hilton, I think, and it's on the Thursday night during NAMM. Let me get that date real quick. That is the 22nd. So on Thursday the 22nd at the Anaheim Hilton, we'll be doing a very short Blue Oyster Cult set, and the lineup for that show is going to be, you know, obviously Buck and Eric. I'm going to be playing guitar and keys. Bobby Rondinelli's going to be playing drums, and Rudy Sarzo is going to be playing bass for that one. So that's going to be a cool little cross section of people who have been in the band. So if you're in the area for that, check it out. We have some other BOC gigs coming up this month, January. On the 16th of January, we're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the, I'm not going to be able to say this, let's see, Potawatomi Casino, Northern Lights Theater at the casino. Then on the 17th, we're in Everett, Washington at the historic Everett Theater. And then on January 31st, we're in Leesburg, Virginia at the Tally Ho Theater. Tally Ho, okay. So, without further ado, I hope you really enjoy this amazing episode with one of my favorite drummers and one of my favorite people, Bobby Rondinelli.
Welcome to Band Geek. I'm Mr. Castellano. and I'm having a cannoli. How about you, Danny?
I'm having a fucking cannoli.
Bobby, you want a cannoli or a cookie?
No, thanks.
Yeah, sugar. You're talking to your mic. They're sugar free.
Not anymore.
I'm good, thanks.
All right. Cannoli, cannoli, cannoli. Provolone.
Wait, that's for later.
There's not going to be any cannolis later.
It doesn't matter. Okay, we're good.
Oh.
I have fucking powdered sugar all over my pants now.
I'm going to call up...
You've made a mess of
it. I'm going to call up Michelli's son and tell him to take the whole fucking deli and bring it over here. Just okay. Move the building into the driveway.
This is Bandgeek, and this is what happens when you put four Italians in a room. We talk about cannoli. Or, depending on where you're from, cannolis. Now, cannoli is supposed to be... The plural of cannoli is cannoli.
The singular form of cannoli is cannolo. And when you make it multiple, you put the I on the end. So you're talking about multiple cookies, cannoli.
But cannolo?
So I just cannola would be a cannole.
What?
Multiple cannolis.
I never heard that ever.
Nobody ever calls him.
Listen,
you don't say bravo to a female. It's brava.
It's brava. Okay. Mm-hmm. So everything in Italian has a gender. Everything is either male or female. Since they're called cannoli, C-A-N-N-O-L-I, it implies that they're male. So the singular form would be cannolo, but you're never going to eat just one. You're always going to eat multiple cannoli. And it wouldn't be cannolis, it would be cannoli. Over. It's like moose. Multiple moose
is moose.
But then
how come everyone in my family says cannolis?
Well, you know, that's a whole other show.
I'm Richie Castellano. This is Band Geek. With me is my wife, Anne-Marie, who has no voice.
Hi, guys.
She had a rough week, so...
Had a rough month.
She was supposed to sing today, so I'm going to have to sing for her, but that's okay. Our regular Band Geek bass player, Danny Miranda.
Woo! We don't have Brandy to clap and make
I know. And our very, very special guest, who I've been waiting to have on the show since I started doing the show, the amazing, the incomparable Bobby Rondinelli. Bobby, thank you so much for doing this. I know this is a schlep, and I know this is a pain in the ass to set everything up, but we got it done.
No, it's just a couple of days before Christmas. It took me 5 hours to get here, and it's 10 minutes away.
Are you at the Smith Haven Mall?
Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
I had to get here through Macy's.
I think you got Santa's sleigh on the back of your car.
Hey, talk in your mic one more time, just to make sure it's working.
Who, me?
Bobby.
Check, 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 check. Hey.
Can we give you a little more?
It's a good He's in there.
Okay. Check.
Yeah. So, I met Bobby. First of all, we're gonna get into all that, but I'm going to talk about when I met Bobby. I met Bobby in 2000. I told this story a lot on the show. What?
With me.
This is not about you today, so shut the fuck up and let me talk about Bobby.
You're allowed to curse on this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good to know.
It's not all about you. I just spent a half an hour getting your monitor mixed, Precious.
Listen, Danny's here. He's helping you out. Wow. Be nice to your guests.
This is
hold on a second. There
he is. he just unplugged his headphones, so he doesn't have to listen to Richie's mouth.
Danny, you know this is how I express love, right?
Go on. Go on.
He did buy you cannolis, though.
He did.
Okay. Are you mad at me now?
No.
Okay. I met Bobby in 2000 when I first started working for Blue Oyster Cult. I was subbing for the sound engineer, Woody. And it was a very stressful thing. But I can remember the first thing you ever said to me. We did the gig. I hadn't spoken to you before the gig. We did the gig, and it was my first ever big rock show mixing. I'd been doing weddings before then. So I had like all this.
A little louder.
No. I had this. But I had this like repressed volume problem. Like I couldn't. Because every time you're playing a wedding, people are coming up to you saying, oh,
can you turn down? I can't hear my Uncle Joe. Can you turn down?
Exactly. That's it. That's and it sounds just like that. So when I got put in front of a big PA with a big rock band, I just put everything up. And. At the end of the show, I go backstage, and the tour manager at the time was this guy, Bill Lotzko, and he goes, Bobby, meet the sound man from tonight. And you said to me, you're the sound man? I said, yeah. He said, I heard my toms bouncing off the buildings in the distance. That's how loud I had the toms.
After the gig, Bobby and I looked at each other like, did you hear how loud the PA was? It was amazing.
Yeah, we like loud.
Yeah, me too. And I think I didn't charge enough, so they kept using me to sub for Woody. But that I would sub for Woody on and off the next like 4 years, and I got really close with you and with Danny. But with you, it's more recent because we didn't like each other at first. I don't think.
It was a love hate thing. You liked me, I hated you.
Okay, so there you go.
No, I thought we liked each other just fine.
We did.
Nah.
But you know what? Bobby really took me under his wing and made me feel like part of the family. I mean, I'm very close with Eric now, but that took a long time to develop because Eric is not
Mr. Warmth.
At the beginning, you have to get to know him. He's, you know, he's not going to just meet someone the first day and just, you know, open up.
Well, the first 2 years.
It took about three, but that's what... All right, I like this. We're 5 minutes in and we're really ripping on Eric. I'm sorry, Eric. Eric listens to the show, by the way.
No. So. Ouch. True.
So, but Bobby, you know, was immediately warm to me, and one of my other favorite stories. What's wrong with you? I'm trying to tell a story about Bobby.
I was so warm.
I apologize.
I'm a loving guy.
Okay, man.
Okay, anyway. There was one gig we did. Do you remember the gig? And I told the story on the show before, but do you remember the gig when we played with Jethro Tull, Ted Nugent, and Uriah Heep? It was in, I think it was in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that big festival.
Yeah, it was a big festival, and we got there...
late.
Now, do you remember how late we got there?
We were very late.
We got there, I think, 15 minutes before we were scheduled to go on. Yeah. And I just remember you guys, not even in the dressing room, there was no time to go to the dressing room. You were behind, it was an outdoor festival, and you're outside behind with your underwear on, like putting on your stage clothes from your suitcases. They ran me out to the front, and they said, okay, do sound, go. And it was the biggest PA I've ever seen in my life. And there was no sound check, and I started playing. And the gig was a disaster. So after the gig, I was, like, beside myself because I just ruined the gig. And I was just, like, sitting in a corner moping. And Bobby came up to me and said, well, what's your problem? And I said, I ruined the gig. I just ruined the gig. I ruined the fucking gig. It's my fault. You know, and I was, like, on the verge of tears, and you said, what's wrong with you? That wasn't your fault. We got here 15 minutes before we had to play, and you calmed me down. And I think just that's just an example of one of the many times that Bobby is just such a, you know, caring guy and a warm guy, and really made me feel like part of the family. Now there were other times that were hysterical, especially between Bobby and Danny. But I think I might have to instigate because you guys are like frickin' frack sometimes. You know, you guys have known each other for a long time, right?
No, too fucking long.
When did you guys meet each other?
Late 80s?
Yeah, I guess so.
Late 80s.
Was Blue Oyster Cult George. The first time you played together?
No. No, we did I did a clinic or two. I did a clinic or two of Bobby's, and we've jammed before, right?
Yeah.
I was in a wedding band, and he sat in.
Really?
That was the first time we played together.
Yeah.
Remember? That was got to be... before 1990, yeah.
I saw a picture of
you. Around the time you joined Powerhouse.
Now, what was Powerhouse?
An amazing band. May I tell them? Sure. George Cintron was in a band with Bobby.
Now, who's George Cintron for people who don't know?
He's just a guitar player. But so
with a bad attitude.
Can you feel the love here?
He's some guy with a guitar.
Hi, George.
And
hey, George.
They play everything from Motown to Van Halen to, you know, but a lot of dancey Motown type stuff and some rockers too. But it was an amazing band, and it was incredible. I'd go down there every week to hear them, and that's it. That's it, really. Bobby can elaborate on it, but an amazing band and a great for George and Bobby especially. You know, they played, you know, in, like we all do, in rock bands. This was more Motown and stuff.
Right.
And it was just, it sounded like $1 million. And they gave it a lot of grease, you know, to it.
Now, I'm going to elaborate on who George is. George is one of the most talented guys I've ever met. He plays guitar. He plays an amazing guitar. He's a fantastic guitarist. And He sings his ass off. He's probably one of my favorite singers. He could sing anything. I remember I saw you guys when I first started working for the band. My dad drove me out to, what was the place you used to play a weekly gig at? Village Pub. Village Pub. I went to Village Pub, and you guys did Right Now by Van Halen. I think you had like a piano sequence
or
something. And I just remember George getting up there for those like Sammy notes. I was blown away.
That's high for me.
Well, they did When It's Love in Powerhouse. By the way, they had two B3 players.
Two?
Yeah. It was one of the loudest club bands I've ever seen. But loud B3s. And amazing. But, oh, you know, God. Ballsy, loud. But they did When It's Love, and George just nailed it.
Oh, man. Yeah, so does George have, like, videos online and stuff, so if people don't want to know who he is, or...
No.
No?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I'll try to find out.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll post it when we post the show.
He's got a website. So
he does?
He does.
GeorgeCintron.com?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. So go to GeorgeCintron.com and check out what George does. And we're going to get George on the show. I wanted him to come on today, but he's away, right? All right. You know who I almost had?
Yeah, he's at Macy's.
He's at Macy's trying
He'll
to get
back
you.
In a week and a half.
You know who we almost had on the show today? Because I was considering having a second guitar player for some of these songs.
Well, what happened to him?
Well, I called Donald, and I said, "Hey, aren't you in New York this week?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I need a backup guitar player. you want to come play rhythm for
that's
me?"
That's an easy no, right there.
And he said, he started laughing. He goes, "Absolutely," but he's coming through tomorrow, so we narrowly missed him. We'll get him on the show eventually. So I want to talk about you and your career and stuff like that. That's the reason we're here. When did you start playing music, and what was your first instrument?
I started on guitar. I didn't want guitar. I hated guitar. I wanted drums, but we lived in an apartment in the city, and my parents thought drums would be like too noisy and loud, which they are, you know. So they got me a guitar and a guitar teacher. And I was 10, I actually started liking it a little. And then the guitar teacher says, "Gonna do a recital, you know what a recital is?" I says, "Yeah, we're gonna play in front of people, right?" And he goes, "Yeah, great." And he goes, "And you're gonna sing too." I went, whoa. I'm not sure I like guitar, but I know I don't wanna sing, right? So he goes, you got to sing, it's going to be great. I think it was something like, something heavy by Led Zeppelin, like Flies in the Buttermilk, Shoe Fly Shoe. And I was losing my mind. I would go like this and there'd be hair in my hand.
Oh my God.
Right down to the follicles, right? Every time there'd be hair in my hand. So my parents are going like, this kid is 10 years old. And being bald wasn't cool back then. Now people with hair shave it. But back then there was Yul Brynner, Telly Savalas, and maybe me, because I'm a 10-year-old kid going to lose my hair. So they start taking me to all doctors. And
oh, why, you're not kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God. We're laughing at this.
No, like this apples. Is serious. So I'm a little hurt by it, too. And they take me to a few doctors. No one knows. They take me to this one woman doctor, and she asked my parents to leave the room. And she goes, "Bobby, you doing anything you don't want to do?" I think she thought I was being abused or something, you know? And I said, yeah, I got to play guitar and I got to sing and I don't want to sing and I really don't want to sing at this recital. And she starts laughing. And she goes, "Okay, calm down," and calls my parents in and says, "I think it's all because he doesn't want to play guitar and he really doesn't want to sing." So my parents go, "All right, you don't have to do it." And I got drums 3 weeks later. Nice. And my hair stopped falling out.
So you hear that, folks? If your hair is falling out, just get a drum set.
Play drums.
Relieve some of the tension. So did you get a teacher right away?
Yeah, pretty much. I got a drum set and a guy named Nicky T from Brooklyn, who I haven't seen since because I don't really know his whole last name. I know he had this big Italian name, but he just went by Nicky T. I would love to get in touch with him.
Nicky T, if you're listening to Band Geek, please contact us and we'll put you in touch with Bobby.
That'd be great.
So is your dad a musician?
My dad writes, you know, lyrics and plays a little guitar, a little piano, loves music.
Cool.
More than anyone I know, actually.
Now, what about, because I know your brother plays too. Any other musician in your family in the past generations or, you know?
No, my mother was a PA. My mother had the loudest mouth I've ever heard.
Oh, a PA system.
Yeah, she was a PA. I could be five blocks away and I would hear my mother screaming for me in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Is your brother younger than you?
My brother's younger. He plays guitar and sings, plays keyboards.
So he likes...
And my sister plays keyboards.
Oh, really? Okay, so now is this something that your parents encouraged you and your siblings to do, or is this something you guys just decided on?
No, they were always behind us.
Really?
Yeah. I would get woken up to practice.
Get out.
Yeah, you want to be a rock star? Why don't you get up and practice instead of sleeping all day, you know?
Wow. Yeah. So what was your first drum set?
Zimgar.
That was my first guitar.
My first real, I had a Beatles snare drum first that my brother, when he was mad at me, stepped on and broke. So I think we threw it out because I didn't know you could change heads. You know? And then I got a Zimgar set from Silver and Holland in Manhattan.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my first drum set.
Now, did you like the Beatles when they came out?
I loved the Beatles. I was in a band that would sing Beatles songs in school.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty gay. We'd wear red shirts and get up and sing Beatles songs in front of the class.
Did you sing too?
I sang.
So you got over your fear of singing?
Yeah, but I got it again.
when did that happen?
As soon as I started playing drums and people asked me if I could sing, I said, no. Nah,
I've actually heard Bobby sing.
Sings fine.
Yes, yeah, he has a beautiful singing voice, but I think that costs extra.
A lot.
Comes with a price.
It does. So all the bands you've been in, I'm sure they've tried to say, oh, we're missing this one harmony, we did it on the record, and they tried to put a mic in front of you, and you just said, forget it. Yeah. Well, good for you. You stuck to it. Now, obviously, the Beatles, that was a big influence on everybody, but the style of drumming you're known for now, that's the furthest thing from Ringo you could think of. So who was the first, like, heavier drummer that you heard that was, you know?
Carmen Apsey was a real big influence on me, and Ginger Baker, mm-hmm. Mitch Mitchell.
So late 60s when all that stuff happened.
Dino Danelli, mm-hmm. Then John Bonham, guys like that.
Now, I remember, I'm gonna
Buddy Rich.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to embarrass you for a second. We did a gig with UFO. So it was Blue Oyster Cult, and UFO was the opener, or it might have been the other way around.
That was right when we started dating. I remember that. That was a great gig.
Right. And at the time, Jason Bonham was on drums, and he went up to Bobby and said, you're the only guy whose drum set sounds like my dad's. He said something like that. Do you remember exactly what he said to you?
Yeah.
But it was, he gave you some crazy compliment, and I was like, wow, that's heavy. What just happened? But you mentioned Mitch Mitchell. I think this is a good time to segue into a song. What do you think? You want to try some Voodoo Child?
Yeah.
All right. I brought a Strat for this. E-flat. Okay, Danny.
Why didn't you tell me this before I came here? I would have used two basses.
Because... I don't know.
Oh, Christ.
I don't have
almighty.
A good excuse.
Really?
E flat. Come on.
Fuck.
It's the record key. Don't you like when we do keys, songs to key the record?
I would have brought another bass.
Well, I thought you were going to. You usually do bring like five basses here. No?
It's the old me. It's Christmas time.
Oh, get my guitar.
Fuck. Yeah, the fucking tune. Gotta waste my battery on my fucking tuner.
Shut up.
A-hole. But because I'm a genius, I'll be able to do it with one string tuned down.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Are you really going to do that? You're only tuning one string?
I could do anything.
There's a lot of eye rolling going on in this room right now.
Okay. All right.
I'm breaking out my old guitar here.
The disgusting caster.
Yeah.
Has to be said in my disgusting voice.
Oh, God, you sound like shit.
Thanks, honey.
Okay, so sometime on the show, Bobby, what we do is we'll teach people the song, because there's a lot of musicians that listen and they sit there with their guitars or their keyboards or even their drums, and they try to figure stuff out and play with us. So I'm tuned down here to E flat if I can ever get my guitar in tune. And this song is mostly a jam on E flat, or if you're tuned down to E flat, it's going to be an E. And then there's a few little chord changes. Now, when we do the chord change, like on the... do you stay on the E there? Are you pedaling the whole time on bass?
I usually go G to A. I mean, I know it's an E on the... But the way Stevie's band did it, I did G to A, so I usually do that.
So you're doing more of the Stevie Ray Vaughan sort
G
of thing?
G to A. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tommy Shannon pretty much copped Noel staying, except he didn't stay on the E.
Right. So, you know, it's... So that's, you know, the main lick. Everybody knows that. And then... That sort of E jam. And the only chord changes here are this... That's the first one. You know, when I pick up all the pieces, make an island. I'd even raise a little sand, that thing. So there I'm playing like it's an E chord shape, but I'm moving it down to the fifth fret, so it's like a G. And then I'm playing like an A shape with a C sharp in the bass. And then we have the Voodoo Child, chorus that's C. C seventh. D seventh. Yeah. You know, I've never played this song before. This is the first time I ever played this. So, oh, great.
Let's should have stayed at Macy's.
You should have played with the Christmas band. Hold
let's
on. Let's
dim the lights and rock.
Yeah, let's get the cameras going. We got to keep the lights on.
Let's roll it. Good. All right.
Okay. So now that we're all set up, Voodoo Child, here we go.
get back to you one of these days. I said I didn't mean to take up all your sweet time. I'll give it right back one of these days. If I don't meet you no more in this world, I'll meet you the next one. Don't be late. Don't be late. Cause I'm a voodoo child, voodoo child.
Holy shit! I'm gonna stop all these recorders. You got that, honey? So that was Voodoo Child. Before we go on, we have to give a thank you to John Michelli for letting us use his beautiful studio.
Oh yeah.
So thank you, John. John's actually hanging out in his house. His studio is not in his house, but
eating cannolis.
He's eating the rest of our cannolis.
That box is empty. Box is filled with candy wrappers.
So thank you, John. And it's a bit rough setting all this stuff up. But we got it. We're going. So
yeah.
We're in it now. Okay. So what was the first – so after you started playing Beatles songs and when Ginger Baker, Mitch Mitchell, Bonham, all those drummers that you liked, when you started hearing those, did you change – obviously you joined like a new band, right, to do that kind of music?
Well, I was still like a kid. I wasn't really in a band yet.
Right.
It was around the time I started to get into bands, but actually, the first album I ever got was Jimi Hendrix, Are You Experienced?
Nice.
You know, and the first song I ever played drums to was a song by Tommy Rowe, I think, called Sweet Pea.
Okay.
And it had like a little drum break in the middle. Ding, ding, that, ding, 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 that. And I thought I was the shit, man. Because I got that little drum break down. And,
that'd make a hell of a nickname for you, by the way.
Sweet Pea.
I think you have that already, right? Or are you Fruity Pebbles?
I'm Little Prick.
I wonder why you're that nickname.
It was LHP, Little Hippie Prick.
Okay, Little Hippie Prick. When did you join your first like working band? And also, did you switch teachers? Or did you stay with, what was his name, Tommy T or Vinny T or?
Nicky T.
Did you stay with him the whole time?
No, I stood with him for a while when I was in Brooklyn. Then we moved to Long Island, and then I studied with Carmen Appice for a while.
Wow!
And a guy named Pete Haywood, who was a great teacher and drummer and friend, I studied with him for a while.
Now, can you talk about lessons with Carmine? Because that's probably something people will be really interested to hear about. Like, how is he as a teacher? What'd you learn? Stuff like that.
Oh, he said he tells everybody. I mean, we're good friends now. I just played it at a clinic of his the other last week or so. But he tells everybody I was a real punk and I was a wise guy, but I don't think I was. And he never showed me anything I wanted to know. I said, and it's true. I would say, Carmen, I want to learn that thing you did on the end of this song. Oh, we'll get to that. I don't want to do stick control and syncopation. I want to learn that lick in the end of, Superstition or something, you know? but he was a great teacher, great guy, and still an inspiration.
Absolutely. So you had lessons with him first, or you were taking him at the same time as Hayward? Or?
No, it's Carmine first, then I think Pete Haywood, then I actually taught for Pete Haywood for a while, and...
Now, teaching is a big part of what you do now, right? You have a lot.
Yeah, I teach a lot, yeah.
So that's when you started, just covering for him?
I was teaching since I'm like 16.
Wow.
You know, on and off, you know, and it's a good way to keep sticks in your hands and you don't have to wait for the phone to ring, you know, for a gig.
Right. I was going to ask you that. Now, do you find teaching affects the way you play?
Well, I think it's... You know, whenever you have sticks in your hands, it's a good thing, you know, and you get some really good students. So, you know, I teach all levels from beginners to advanced. So, you know, some of the advanced guys keep you on your toes and you got to keep, you know, staying a few steps ahead. So it makes you, it pushes you a little. Plus you learn stuff from teaching, you know, sometimes somebody will do something and you say, that's cool. And you expand on it. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, you know, you're always looking to take it out in a different way and, but you know, get your own stamp on things, you know.
Now, how do you handle it when a Bobby Rondinelli student says, hey, can you teach me this thing you did on a Rainbow song?
I show them.
We'll get to that
because
later.
I learned the stuff anyway. I might as well get the credit for it. You know what I mean? That's the other thing. You know, people will surprise you every time. You know, they'll get it on their own. Mm-hmm. So give it to them. That's why they're paying you.
Right. So what was the first big band that you joined, and how did that happen?
Rainbow was the first big band.
And so was there an audition, or did you hear about it from somebody?
No, I actually heard that Cozy was leaving, and I had a friend that knew Richie's friend, and my friend told Richie's friend, you know, get Bobby an audition. The guy goes, like, what's in it for me? My friend goes, I'll give you 30 hours free studio time, right? And so it was kind of like blackmailing my friend. And
you did your
song. I was in a band called Samantha, and our equipment truck got robbed. And one night we're playing at Hammerheads and on borrowed gear. And this guy comes up to me and says, hey, I'm a friend of Richie Blackmore's. I go, really? I says, yeah, I've been trying to, I want to meet him. He goes, great, because he's here and he wants to meet you. So Richie was there. I met him. He knew I was up for the gig in Kiss, and he asked me, he said, I heard you're up for the thing in Kiss, and if you don't get it, I'd like to get together. And I said, I'd like to get together anyway. Right. You know, I mean, I was never into Kiss, and I'm a big Rainbow and Deep Purple fan, you know. And so that's how I met Richie, and we got together, and this guy Barry hooked me up.
So who was in the band at that point? Was that Joe Lynn Turner?
Graham Bonnet.
Okay.
Graham Bonnet, Don Airey, Roger Glover.
How awesome is Don Airey?
Pretty awesome. Yeah. And Joe came in after we started recording, and Richie had thrown Graham out. He threw him out like one day he just wasn't there. We were in the studio listening to a song that Russ Ballard sent us.
Yeah.
I think it was I Surrender or whatever the song was.
You play on I Surrender?
Yeah. And Richie asked everybody what he thought of the song, and Roger said he liked it. I said I liked it. Graham said, well, it's all words and music, isn't it, Rich?
That was the end of that.
And Richie left the room. We never saw Graham again.
Just because of that.
Yeah, so we finished. Now we're three songs into the record. We're in Copenhagen recording, and now we don't have a singer. So we finished the album not knowing who was going to sing what. Or, you know, we just...
Are there two singers on that album? Or did...
No, just Joe.
Okay, so he re-sang everything?
Graham never sang anything up to that point, you know, but he would have. You know, because they didn't necessarily have finished songs. Richie would come up with music, and we'd put the music down, and then they'd write lyrics and melodies to that.
Probably my favorite Rainbow song. Now, I'm a huge Dio fan, but even though I'm a huge Dio fan, and I love Rainbow era of Dio and Black Sabbath, my favorite Rainbow song is Death Alley Driver. Has the worst music video I've ever seen, but it doesn't make a difference.
Now, I watched it the other day trying to remember it, and it was pretty bad.
It's like watching a Pac-Man game.
Yeah.
So do you remember filming that thing?
Yeah, I remember the graveyard sequence. Like, we're filming in a very old graveyard in Connecticut, and I'm the only one making noise. I'm on somebody's grave, mm-hmm. and I'm hitting, and they're just screwing around because they're not making any noise, but I got to hit the drums, and I'm thinking I'm going to hell. And the first cymbal I hit... falls, hits a headstone, and crack like about that much. And I'm like, please, this is not my idea, man. You know, I'm like, it's true. True.
So when you do something like that, because this is something fascinating that we never talked about, when you make a music video, are they playing back the track on speakers, or do you have like in-ears or something?
This is in the 80s. There wasn't a lot of in-ears, right?
So they had like huge PA system.
Yeah, they had monitors.
Because I did one music video with a live drummer, and the drummer is so loud, especially when you're listening to playback. You need to make the track super loud to get over it.
Yeah, it's
got to
be ridiculous, and I'm the worst lip sync drummer there is, because I don't remember the fills. You know, it's terrible.
Don't they have, you know, like fake cymbals now?
They got dead cymbals, but I didn't have them. Yeah. You know, Peisty makes like dead cymbals where they just, you know, it's like you hit it. It sounds like that, you know.
Yeah.
So they make video cymbals.
They do.
Yeah. Wow.
They do.
You know, that whole thing, by the way, was very Italian. Hey, where's Graham? I'm not going to see him anymore.
Richie Blackmore's got a vowel.
Graham was just...
He's got a vowel at the end
of
the
movie. Graham's still alive. I did a gig
in
with him
his living
over
room,
over
he's
the
got
summer.
A, he's got a ram's head and Graham Bonnet's head and...
a Graham's head. A ram's head and a Graham's head. I have cannoli all over
with
my guitar.
Cannoli in his mouth.
Okay, let's try... Now, here's the thing. Anne-Marie was supposed to sing Death Alley Driver.
I don't think you want to hear that.
So I'm going to do it. We're going to do it in a different key, and Danny hates when I do that. But we're going to do it down. And let's take that modulation out. Let's go over it.
What? Oh, take the modulation out?
I told you that.
I know you did, but I forgot about it. In my anger, I wrote the modulation.
Are you mad at
you
me?
Guys fight more like a married couple than the actual married couple in the room right now. I would just like to point that out.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
It's beautiful in a way.
Beautiful in a sad way.
Yeah.
Beautiful in a very
We spend too much time together now is what the problem is. All right, so another thing is Andy, and I know Andy listens. Andy, our keyboard player, was supposed to be here, but he planned a vacation. Actually, he planned his honeymoon. So now I have to play the keyboard part, so I have this going on my pod.
Oh, my God.
So
you can get rid of that anytime you
it's
want.
It's a good thing Richie's not here. Because this Richie would disappear.
He'd hire you. He'd hire you just so you can disappear.
Just to fire me.
Wait, Richie's car is still running.
You don't have to turn it on yet. We have to rehearse it first.
Yeah, we
got to
run through this.
We're going to run through this song.
Fuck me. Why did I transpose
it? Why don't we record it just in case we get it?
Because I'm probably going to talk through the whole thing. And
we should at least record the audio just in case.
We'll record it. Fine, let's record it. Let's record it. Because you know what? I can't sing this song too many times anyway.
I like that bass, okay. Danny.
Thank you. This is Leon, because it brings a ruckus.
Leon? The name of that bass is Leon?
Leon.
After we do this song, I think you should tell the story you told before about your bass, about this bass in specific.
What did I do? What?
About this bass and you and Bobby. Was it this bass or no? It was the Fiesta red bass.
That was Floyd.
Floyd. Okay.
Yeah.
You seriously have names for all your basses?
Because he calls it pink, so it's Floyd. Yeah, all my basses are named.
Well, I know about Jefe.
El Jefe. We got Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn.
Oh, it's Goldie Hawn. It's not Gold, remember?
We got Phil.
Phil the bass?
Yeah, Phil.
What's Phil look like?
Phil Linnett. It's like a black P bass in honor of Phil.
Do you name your drums?
The Duck, in honor of Duck Dunn.
Okay.
That's not something that men do. Sorry. Go ahead.
Alright. Enough about me.
Let's get this down.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Everything's running, right?
Yep.
Do you want me to make new files?
Make a new file on that. That's
it. You're gonna make that feedback?
You know what? Maybe I will.
Well, I'll just come in.
I'll make some feedback. Ready? Rolling?
Rock and roll survivor.
Bobby, thank you very much for letting me play that with you. That was an honor.
That was fun.
Oh, my God. Hey, I sang it.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Oh, man. Thank you. That was a
great
big honor.
Great singing, Anne-Marie.
It didn't suck that bad.
It was good.
You were good. You were great.
Thank you.
I thought that sounded like I was listening to the record. That was awesome. Nice. So, before... Before we stop, we have to do one thing. Danny's come up with a really great game. So I'm going to stop it right there. This is part one of a two-parter. So tune in next week for the conclusion to Bobby Rondinelli on Band Geek. As you can probably tell, we're about to set up some serious food drumming. So you're not going to want to miss that. Please subscribe to our show at riotcast.com. And go to iTunes, rate, comment. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're going to have videos from all the songs from this episode. So please check that out. Thanks for listening, and see you next week. Woo!